Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the 2/15/19 ClassicFM.com article titled 21 Common Expressions That Are Based on Music. So question number one, what is the origin of the expression pulling out all the stops, which means going all out or giving it your all and attempting to achieve something? Where did that phrase come from? And question number two, what is the origin of the expression blowing your own horn, which means, of course, bragging about yourself? Where'd that come from? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of July the 3rd. Well, it was on this day back in 1895 that the song America the Beautiful was first published, 1895 today. And it was 40 years ago today, 1980, that the Beach Boys gave a free outdoor performance to an estimated 500,000 people in Washington, D.C., 1980 today.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes, all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. And the people in the houses all go to the university and they all get put in boxes, little boxes, all the same.
Pete Seeger performing Little Boxes introduces our country and folk music news. It's an article entitled The Story of the United States in 12 Songs. This is written by Matthew Sabatella in balladofamerica.org. I was never particularly interested in history in high school. In high school, I half-heartedly attempted to, quote-unquote, memorize the important identifications from the U.S. history textbook as my teacher instructed me to do. That all began to change when I first heard the anthology of American folk music from Smithsonian Folkways Recordings. The story of the United States came alive to me as I began to understand people from the past through the ancient ballads, religious songs, and dance tunes that they carried from their homelands, people in slavery, through their spirituals and work songs born out of their suffering.
And a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same.
Blues music, Appalachian folk songs, songs of frontiersmen, factory workers, sailors, cowboy soldiers, railroad workers, activists, and others are all ingredients in the great cultural stew that is the United States of America. The music included in these 12 songs keeps us connected to the strength and beauty that have emerged from the often troubled history of the United States. The 12 songs include these: Young Ladies in Town, that's an American Revolution song that encouraged the Don't Buy British boycott in 1787 New England. The Wisconsin Emigrant, an 1830 song about Western expansion into Indian Territory. The Battleship of Maine, an 1898 attempt to justify the Spanish-American War. The Suffrage Song and the Suffrage Flag, an early 1900 song for the women's vote set to the melody of the Civil War song, The Bonnie Blue Flag. Little Boxes, the tune which opened this article about the effects of the 1944 GI Bill, the 1956 Highway Act, and the redlining which produced the homogeneous Levittown suburbs and white flight from the inner cities. If You Miss Me from the Back of the Bus, that's a 1960s civil rights song about an African-American drowning in a local river while public pools were segregated. And finally, there's Tupac Shakur's 1998 song, Changes, which highlights the escalating problem of income inequality in America. Once again, these are just a few of the songs included in that article of 12 songs that make up the story of the United States. And in classical music news, we have this article entitled, Two-thirds of young musicians are practicing more in lockdown, study finds. Turns out lockdown's been the perfect tonic for getting budding musicians to practice their instruments. This is written by Matty Shaw Roberts, published in ClassicFM.com on the 24th of June, 2020. Music has been a source of great comfort to many during lockdown, and it turns out the past 3 months have also given children the perfect opportunity to play their musical instruments more. Research out today reveals two-thirds of parents say their child has been more motivated to do music practice since lockdown started. In fact, over half of those surveyed said their sprogs have done more than an hour of extra practice per week. The folks at the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, who conducted the study, also found a surge in interest in other creative activities. Beyond those that played musical instruments, parents reported their child reading more books, painting, and even directing plays at home. 38% of parents said their child has been learning a musical instrument at home this year, while 17% can now reportedly play more than one. The article skips down. Culture and the arts bring meaning to our lives. They make us the human beings we are. The choices of our children to play music at a time of national crisis is significant in so many ways. It undermines the universal reach of orchestral music. It underlines that. It demonstrates the power of creativity to counterbalance fear at a time of crisis. And it allows us to express feelings and emotions we cannot articulate with words. The things we have turned to during the crisis will be the very things that will also help us to rebuild society in the months ahead.
I can't sleep at night, I can't eat a bite, 'cause the gal I love, she don't treat me right.
John Shane's Crazy Blues introduces our jazz and blues music news. It's an article entitled Blues, an Overview. This is published in BalladofAmerica.org. Blues encompasses a variety of musical styles and is an essential building block in almost all genres of American music, including jazz, country, bluegrass, rhythm and blues, and rock and roll. Blues music, or the blues, was born in the American South in the latter decades of the 19th century. It became popular throughout the United States in the early 1910s, eventually developing into many varieties, including country blues, boogie-woogie, urban blues, gospel blues, Memphis blues, Chicago blues, swamp blues, and more. Musically, blues can be partially defined by the use of the five-note pentatonic blues scale prevalent in West African music and the use of microtones between these notes. There are also some standard song forms, including 12-bar and 16-bar patterns, though many blues songs do not adhere to these. The blues evolved from earlier African-American musical expressions, including work songs, field hollers, dance music, spirituals, and shouts. While commonly perceived as sorrowful, blues music includes songs for dancing, either upbeat or slow, and sexy. Comic songs, joyful songs, and more.
Now I see my poor love was blind.
And in music research and technology, we have this article written by Jess Joho, published on the 8th of May, 2020 in Mashable.com, entitled, How the Pandemic Will Change Our Relationship to Time Forever. On a moment-to-moment basis, the days spent in quarantine can often feel like they drag on forever. Yet somehow the 6 to 10 weeks since most stay-at-home orders went into effect appear to have gone by in the blink of an eye. Our sense of time is broken, but that doesn't stop the hours and weeks from continuing to tick by like, well, clockwork. We've got this objective time construct measured by clocks and calendars, but that doesn't tell the whole story, said Melanie Rudd, a University of Houston psychology professor. We all get 24 hours in a day, 365 days in a year, but we all experience that same amount of time very differently. On top of every other disruption brought on by coronavirus, this clash between objective and subjective time is sending people into a tailspin. We're not sure what day it is, how long it's been since this all began, or the precise moment when time lost all meaning anyway. But we can say for sure that we now exist in a reality where one of the main organizing principles of life and society has collapsed. We're not used to this type of uncertainty. Our lives are much more structured and scheduled than we tend to realize, said Simon Grandin, a professor of psychology. But now we don't know when quarantine will end. We can't plan for the future, so we're suspended, like we're frozen in midair. The pandemic put a halt to routines like work and school, which differentiated our nights from our days, our weekdays from weekends. But it's even bigger than that, too, negating everything from entire seasons of sports to Mother Nature itself. Sorry, folks, but summer's probably been canceled this year. Our brains tend to track intervals of time through distinct events, and we don't have many of those right now, said Heather Berlin, a psychiatry professor and neuroscientist. It's very hard to estimate how much time has passed, if there's nothing to demarcate it. If it's all the same and blends together, then it can feel like just one really long day. To be clear, time distortion is a normal thing that happens all the time. As Grandin pointed out, losing track of time while on holiday is often seen as part of the charm of a vacation. The way we perceive time is always very personal, Rudd said, and those individual variables are even more pronounced in quarantine. People tend to fall somewhere on the spectrum of two distinct pandemic time distortions right now. You have some folks juggling more than ever before, like essential workers or parents who are not only working from home, but also expected to be teachers to their kids. For them, time stress is high, overwhelmed by the amount of different tasks they need to accomplish, causing feelings of time scarcity. Then there are those who can't work, stuck at home, often alone or close to it, with nothing to fill their time aside from TV show reruns, movie rewatches, books, or video games. These time affluence folks are also often the people tracking the number of days spent in quarantine, which can feel as maddening as being too busy to notice what day it is. The more time you spend thinking about time, the slower it moves. That's on top of the litany of other stressors that come with not being able to work, like economic anxiety or a general lack of purpose and fulfillment. There are different parts of the brain responsible for our long-term or retrospective judgment of time versus the way we judge the short-term, minute-by-minute or hour-by-hour passage of time, says Berlin. Just think of how parents always describe raising children, she said. The days are gruelingly long, the years too short. Then you blink, and suddenly they're all grown up. The elderly express similar sentiments. Grondin pointed out that days stretch on forever, but the past 20 years go by in a flash. The conflict between short-term and long-term time perception then causes a shock of whiplash when you realize that while you were languishing in all that nothingness, spring had arrived without you even noticing. On the other hand, those who are too busy to pay attention to the passage of time look back and are reminded of everything that they had to do in such a short span of time. It all feels like it happened a lifetime ago. The solution to your warped perceptions, regardless of which variety, comes down to finding a balance between routine and novelty. Even if nothing is requiring it of you, impose as normal a schedule as possible on yourself and others you're responsible for in your household. That means sticking to circadian sleeping patterns, changing your clothes daily, even if it's just into different sweatpants, and most importantly, making time, no matter how scarce it is, to regularly do something you love. Dr. Shahram Mehajmet notes that music is a powerful emotional stimulus that changes our relationship with time. Time does indeed seem to fly by when listening to pleasant music. Music is therefore used in waiting rooms to reduce the subjective duration of time spent waiting, and in supermarkets to encourage people to stay for longer and buy more. Hearing pleasant music seems to divert attention away from time processing. Moreover, this attention-related shortening effect appears to be greater in the case of calm music with a slow tempo. Time flies when you're having fun because you're not thinking about time, said Rudd. Beyond that, though, creating occasions to look forward to will help anyone cope with the uncertainty of our current future and how long quarantine will last. For those without a lot of time to spare, these can be small joys. Maybe it's a morning crossword puzzle over coffee, one night every week where you make or order your favorite food, a nightly dance party with your kids. For people struggling with hopeless boredom, your new job is to find an activity that allows you to enter into a state of quote-unquote flow. Now, flow is a psychological term for when you become fully immersed in whatever you're doing. The world falls away and time stops existing, in a good way. This often comes from something you're good at or working to master. Most video games, for example, are designed to induce a sense of flow and accomplishment. Also, why do you think so many people have suddenly taken up sourdough bread baking as a hobby? But here's where the importance of novelty comes in, because getting into any kind of rut is a recipe for more time distortion. Intentionality creates those contextual changes your brain is so starved for, no matter your situation. Change is your friend, so whether you have a very busy schedule or a very boring one, do something different, said Berlin. We've evolved to get dopamine, a neurochemical pleasure release, when things are different. So do something mentally challenging or novel each day to break up the monotony. By now, you might be sick of hearing the suggestion, but doing even the most stripped-down version of meditation can be hugely helpful for grounding yourself in the present rather than the time warp past or future. In one study, Rudd found that the simple act of deep, controlled breathing can make our time feel more expansive. The more we can learn how to adjust, recalibrate our internal perception of time throughout this, the better off we will be from a well-being perspective. Time is always uncertain, The pandemic's influence over our perception of time won't only be relegated to our immediate or long-term personal experiences either. Like 9/11 or John F. Kennedy's assassination, we are living through an event, a flashbulb memory, Berlin called it, that will leave a permanent mark, irrevocably changing the way we see the era we live in. It's such a novel time. The day-to-day isn't necessarily novel, but this whole experience is so new, so stress-inducing, said Berlin. This time will be forever etched into our minds. We will remember it in exquisite detail, especially the early days when it was such a shocking, abrupt change. When all is said and done, quarantine time, warp will settle. We will adapt, but we'll also be changed forever. Learning how to be okay with it now is at least one way we can prepare for our uncertain future.
Here's Eve. Don't it seem like decades ago? Back in 2019, back when life was slow. Now it's June, we're just halfway done. 2020, hey, are we having fun? How many years will we try to cram in?
Ben Folds' new release, 2020, introduces our rock and pop music news. It's an article entitled, Ben Folds Shares New Song, 2020, that sums up this year. Here's to hoping for some stability in 2021. This is published in Spin Magazine, written by Daniel Cohn, on the 25th of June, 2020. In just under 2.5 minutes, Ben Folds has managed to sum up the chaos that is 2020. The singer-songwriter has shared 2020 that looks back at the year so far and is a perfect encapsulation of the angst that almost everyone has been going through on many levels. The song was recorded at Folds' apartment in Sydney. Here's to hoping for some stability in 2021 and to eventually looking back and understanding that it took this year, uncomfortable as it has been, to get us to a better place. Until then, hold on to our hats, Folds said. Folds was in the midst of an Australian tour before the coronavirus pandemic hit. This is Folds' first new single since 2018's Mr. Peepers.
'Cause there's plenty left to wreck. We got 6 months left. How many years? How many years will we try? How many years will we try to cram into one? I wanna ask you, do you ever sit and wonder it's so strange that we could be together for so long and never know, never care what goes on in the other one's head? Things I felt but I never said. You said things that I never said, so I'll say something that I should have said long ago.
You don't know me.
You don't know me at all.
You don't know me.
Ben Folds playing You Don't Know Me introduces our local music news. Who is Ben Folds anyway? Well, as indicated in AllMusic.com and IMDb.com, North Carolina native Folds was as proficient in multiple instruments and genres of music. Following a late 80s stint playing bass, Folds spent several years in Nashville, working largely as a session drummer. Moving back to North Carolina in 1994, he formed Ben Folds Five, a guitarless trio whose sound was akin to such piano-driven artists as Billy Joel and early Elton John. Ben Folds is widely regarded as one of the major music influencers of our generation. He's created an enormous body of genre-bending music that includes collaborative records with artists from Sarah Bareilles and Regina Spektor to William Shatner. His concerto for piano and orchestra soared to number one on both the Billboard Classical and Classical crossover charts. For over a decade, he's performed with some of the world's greatest symphony orchestras, and in 2017 was named as the first ever artistic advisor to the National Symphony Orchestra at the Kennedy Center. an avid photographer, Folds is a member of the prestigious Sony Artisans of Imagery. He, in 2017, was a photo editor for National Geographic and was recently featured in a mini-documentary by the Kennedy Center's digital project on his photographic work. Folds is an outspoken champion for arts education and music therapy funding in our nation's public schools.
I know you'll only change it.
Say it.
You don't know me.
You don't know me at all.
You don't know me.
So that's who Ben Folds is. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, what is the origin of the expression pulling out all the stops, which means going all out or giving it your all and attempting to achieve something? Where did that phrase come from? Correct answer. As noted in ClassicFM.com, this phrase originally referred to organ stops, which are pulled out to turn on each set of sounds in a pipe organ. When they are all pulled out, the instrument can be played at its maximum volume. And the answer to our second question, what is the origin of the expression blowing your own horn, which means, of course, bragging about yourself? Where'd that come from? Correct answer. Well, as noted in ClassicFM.com, tooting or blowing your own horn comes from the medieval period. Heralds would announce the arrival of a VIP with a trumpeting fanfare. Of course, if you weren't a VIP, you would have to blow your own trumpet. Given the special nature of this July 4th weekend set in the midst of a pandemic, let's close today's program with a therapeutic piano version of some patriotic songs. We'll even try to provide some fireworks to conclude. We've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me. Randy Thompson at 919-832-5138. So long. Until next time.